What? What? What?
I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Ridge.
How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household.
Too Jewish.
Shalom, and welcome to the Too Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is Idan Reichel. We'll also have a visit from our Too Jewish expert on the international scene, Tom Price, and our Mevina on Israel, Oshrat Borel. Please email your comments to us at TooJewishRadio@yahoo.com or visit us on the web at TooJewishRadio.com. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom and Chag Sameach, a happy holiday of Sukkot. Or as we discussed last week, Moadim L'Simcha, Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason, festivals of joy and holidays of celebration. Sukkot is the great holiday of Thanksgiving, gratitude, and guests, and I hope you're taking some time this week to sit in a sukkah, do the blessings for the lulav and the etrog, and thank God for the beautiful natural world we're blessed to inhabit and enjoy. This is Zman Simchatenu, the season of our joy in Judaism, and I certainly hope you're enjoying life this week. On Sukkot, we eat, drink, invite friends into sukkahs, and give thanks to God for all that we have and enjoy. But even at this time of celebration, we can still have a few serious thoughts. I realize we are now well past Yom Kippur. It ended a full week ago, which in this season of breakneck holiday progression seems like a very long time. But I missed playing you a classic interpretation of the trademark prayer of the High Holy Days, the Unetane Tokef's section on who by fire and who by water, mi va'esh hu mi va'mayim, as reinterpreted from the Unetane Tokef by the remarkable Jewish songwriter and singer Leonard Cohen. So, here it is.
And who by fire, who by water, who in the sunshine, who in the nighttime, who by high ordeal, who by common trial, who in your merry, merry month of May, who by very slow decay,
and who shall I say is calling?
And who in her lonely slip, who by barbiturate, who in these realms of love, who by something blunt, who by avalanche, who by powder, for his greed, who for his hunger, and who shall I say is calling? Who by brave ascent, who by accident, who in solitude, who in this mirror, by his lady's command, who by his own hand, who in mortal chains, who in power, and who shall I say is calling?
That was Leonard Cohen's version of Who by Fire. Actually, that is far from the only pop or rock song to have borrowed from Jewish liturgy and scripture at this season of the year. Yesterday in Temple, we chanted from the wonderful book of Ecclesiastes, Kohelet, from the last part of the Hebrew Bible, the Ketuvim, traditionally chanted on the Sabbath of the festival of Sukkot. And if you don't recall, this classic Birds version of Pete Seeger's setting of the biblical text, recorded way back in 1965, you are missing something great.
Time.
seems to me that that song has been used to typify the mid-1960s in about 50 movies, including Forrest Gump, as I recall. And I've heard that it is the pop song with the absolute earliest words ever used. According to Jewish tradition, King Solomon wrote the Book of Ecclesiastes. I wonder just where the music companies have been sending the royalty checks. Anyway, in another 5 days or so, we'll conclude this long fall festival season and put the extreme holiday experience of Judaism behind us. But before that happens, I must note that this Wednesday and Thursday will be the festival of Shmini Atzeret, the eighth day of assembly for Sukkot, an independent holiday when we say the blessing for rain, Geshem, and lovingly remember our ancestors one more time with Yizkor prayers. That same day, if you're a Reformed Jew, or the very next day, if you are a conservative or Orthodox, will be Simchat Torah, the celebration of Torah, the wonderful festival when we complete the reading of the Torah and begin again from Bereishit, Genesis. Before we leave the festival season in our rearview mirror, I have one favorite personal anecdote to share about Simchat Torah. The genesis of this particular story goes back to when I was living in Jerusalem. Having grown up knowing that Simchat Torah was a wide-open, fun festival, on the night of Simchat Torah, some friends and I went looking for a good party. You know, dancing with the Torahs, lots of loud singing, perhaps a few schnapps to celebrate. What we discovered is that just isn't the way Jerusalemites celebrate Simchat Torah. After wandering the Jewish quarter of the old city of Jerusalem in search of revelry, we found a couple of decent Torah readings and plenty of stately hakafot, Torah processionals, but no real parties. We decided to try the ultra-Orthodox area of Mea Shearim. Again, no great parties, no Jews dancing in the streets, none of the festivities we associate with Simchat Torah here in America. Having found a bottle or two of Arak along the way, we decided to create our own Simchas Torah celebration, and a group of us began singing and dancing in the middle of a quiet intersection at the entrance to Mea Shearim. We worked up enough enthusiasm to begin to attract a group of younger Orthodox Jews willing to come dance with the Meshuggah American revelers, singing Ki Heim Chayenu Hoshia Et Amecha and every other Torah song we could think of. Finally, we started to have a really good time. And then we heard a plop on the pavement near us, then another, then another. We realized that the neighbors living nearby in Mea Shearim were pelting us with fruit. But not just any fruit. It was the leftover etrogim, the citrons from the holiday of Sukkot that they didn't eat anymore. Only in Jerusalem could that happen. A last add on our fall celebrations and for Simchat Torah this week, here's the song Shalom Rav Liohavei Toratecha, Great Peace of Those Who Love the Torah, from our own house rock band, Avanim. That was Avanim playing Shalom Rav Leohavei Toratecha. One very sad note on this morning of festival joy. The lead creative influence of Avanim, my good friend Steve Shulman, the guitar god of Temple Emmanuel of Tucson, passed away last week from cancer, much too young. Steve was a wonderful friend and mentor and a great musician, and his vision, skill, and generosity were a big part of what made Avanim a fine band. He is sorely missed already. He was a real mensch, and while his music goes on, his absence will be intensely felt. So long, Steve. We miss you, buddy. We will always try to honor your memory. Our guest this morning on Too Jewish is the terrific Israeli and world music star Idan Reichel, creator of the Idan Reichel Project. Here's a bit of the first cut from his new CD, the lovely song Yored HaErev, Evening Falls.
Yored HaErev Ometziv B'Sheket B'Chalonot Batim Yeshor Kalush Z'Shvil Afar Chashuch Movil El Habayit U'Nevichot Klavim Korim L'Shalom אני הולכת לאיבוד ערב ערב ומחייכת לעצמי כשנזכרת זה לא דומה בכלל למה שחשבתי כשדמיינתי שאני אהיה גדולים וזה מרגיש כל כך פשוט ורגוע ואין סופות שמאירות לחיים וזה לא מה שתמיד חלמתי אבל זה מספיק טוב אתה זוכר בכלל דברים שחלמנו מקומות יפים, ערים רחוקות הכל יהיה תמיד לטובתנו ואז נחיה את כל החלומות אני הולכת לאיבוד ערב ערב ומחייכת לעצמי כשנזכרת זה לא דומה בכלל למה שחשבתי כשדמיינתי שאני אהיה גדולי זה מרגיש כל כך פשוט ורגוע ואין סופות שמאירות לחיים זה לא מה שתמיד חלמתי אבל זה מספיק טוב שלי ואל תבטיח לי שפעם נהיה עוד מילים כאלה נשטפות עם הזמן הכל משחק חיים שלמים נעלמו כבר ים של אבודים היינו עוד גל
That was from our guest this morning, Israeli musician Idan Reichel, singing Yored HaErev. When we come back on Too Jewish, find out how he started combining musical forms and why it typifies all of Israeli society. When we return on Too Jewish.
A Taste of Judaism, the largest and most successful outreach program in the country, celebrates its 14th anniversary year. Over 5,000 people have completed the course offered by Temple Emmanuel, Arizona's first congregation. Now, it's your turn. Taste of Judaism is free and open to all, Jewish or not. Rabbi Sam Kohan and Rabbi Batsheva Appel explore the history and practice of Judaism in 3 2-hour sessions on spirituality, values, and community. Taste of Judaism is an exciting opportunity for anyone who wants to gain an understanding of Jewish culture, history, rituals, community, and practice. The class includes delicious tastes of traditional Jewish foods. Taste of Judaism offers daytime and evening classes in Central, Northwest, and East Tucson, plus the very popular Taste of Judaism Family Class, held at Tucson Hebrew Academy. Adults enjoy a grown-up taste class, while kids enjoy Jewish stories, crafts, and activities with excellent THA teachers. There's no fee or obligation, but space is limited and pre-registration is required. Call Mila Vassar at 520-327-4501 for more information and to register today. That's 520-327-4501.
Parents in Tucson have many choices on where to send their children to school. Consider the best. Consider Tucson Hebrew Academy. Now is the time to secure your spot for the upcoming school year. With a beautiful Foothills K-8 campus and award-winning academics, you owe it to your children to visit THA, Tucson Hebrew Academy, and see what they have to offer. Your child belongs at THA. THA delivers. Low student-teacher ratio supports successful, rigorous academics, and they don't stop there. With an emphasis on the arts, science, and music, THA students learn the Hebrew language and are taught Jewish values along with a rigorous academic curriculum. Your child deserves the best. Call 529-3888 to schedule your tour of THA. Financial aid is available. Don't wait. Space is limited. That's 529-3888 or visit www.thaaz.org. We are delighted to welcome the Two Jewish, our guest this morning. Idan Reichel is the outstanding Israeli singer, songwriter, and musician. His Idan Reichel project mixes Ethiopian, Amharic language, global sound, rock. I don't know how to describe it. You have to kind of hear it. He's become not only one of the major stars on the Israeli musical scene, but on the world music scene. Good morning and welcome to Two Jewish.
Good morning. Thank you for having me in your show.
The first time the Idan Reichel project hit the Israeli airwaves, and I guess probably pretty shortly thereafter the European airwaves, was about perhaps 2003. What led you to come up with a particular mix that's so unique?
I started as just a demo of writing my songs, and I was recording it with actually people from my block, from my neighborhood. In Israel, for those of the listeners who are not familiar with our society, it's all about immigrants who came from all over. So when I'm recorded with different drummers or different lead singers or different guitar players, they all came from different parts of the world, immigrate to Israel. And we actually recorded something that from outside will sound like some multicultural bands, some kind of a unique melting pot, which actually reflects the sound of Israel of the past decade, I think.
You know, I don't know how many of our listeners realize, but Israel is a country of immigrants from maybe 150 other countries. But people tend to think about Israeli music as falling into specific categories. Was it your desire to kind of transcend those categories?
When you think about Israel, you know, it's only a few decades that Israel exists. And it's actually still difficult to define an Israeli kitchen or Israeli music or any kind of art. So therefore, what I feel is that the mix of the artists and the sounds and the tastes from all over, they are actually what makes Israel to be what it is. And for the people who are not familiar with the Israeli society, I think that the Idan Reichel project can be the soundtrack of Israel, as I understand it, in the past decade.
Kind of capturing the heart of the whole Israeli experience in the last 10 years. We will come back shortly with Idan Reichel. You'll get to hear some of his music here on Two Jewish in just a few moments.
When you're looking to buy or sell your home, you probably want Tucson's best realtor on your side. That realtor is Jill Rich. As real estate values change, it's comforting to know that Jill Rich knows Tucson's real estate landscape. She follows the trends. She knows the neighborhoods. She even knows how to help you find financing. But most importantly, Jill cares. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a starter home or a castle. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. For sellers, Jill will develop a personal marketing program that'll sell your house fast. There's no one who knows Tucson real estate better. You can reach Jill Rich at Long Realty's River and Campbell office. Call 349-0174. Jill Rich, providing strong representation in a caring way. Call 349-0174.
If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, kvetch or kvel, please email us at twojewishradio@yahoo.com or visit our website at twojewishradio.com. You can hear all past and present shows by streaming them from the website or download us from the Apple iTunes Store as very popular Jewish podcasts. We are fully into the week of Sukkot, celebrating the fourth day of that week-long festival today. And at the end of Sukkot, we'll celebrate the great fun festival of Simchat Torah, the rejoicing of Torah, when we complete reading the text of the five books of Moses, finishing Deuteronomy, and begin again with Genesis. Simchat Torah always reminds me of when I started as a student at Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati. They asked me to lead Simchat Torah services. I sat through the first few hakafot, the parades with the Torah, just listening to the dull, plodding songs they were doing. Finally, I turned to the dean of the college, Rabbi Ken Ehrlich, and asked him what was going on. Like me, he is mostly descended from Eastern European Jews who do Simchas Torah singing and dancing with great enthusiasm and energy, kind of a wanton celebration, to be honest. And Ken explained that when he first came to Hebrew Union College, the Torah Hakafot for Simchat Torah were done in a slow, stately procession, accompanied by plodding organ music. He himself had turned to a professor and asked the same question. It's Simchas Torah. How come they're marching, not dancing? And the professor answered, they are German Jews. They are dancing. Well, this next piece of music is a little more like the way we celebrate on Simchas Torah at my own congregation, Temple Emmanuel, here in Tucson, Arizona. It's a klezmer celebration called Grandfather's Dance, Zadie Tanz, from the New Orleans Klezmer All-Stars, who mix Dixieland jazz with their klezmer. That was a klezmer celebration melody in honor of the celebration of Torah, Simchat Torah, this Wednesday or Thursday night, depending on whether you are Reform or Conservative or Orthodox. In any case, happy holidays, and of course, happy Torah. We are now pleased and serene to bring you an occasional feature of Too Jewish, Haikus for Jews, a couple of leftover returns from the Zen Judaism department. The first haiku, Yom Kippur, forgive me, Lord, for the Mercedes and all that lobster. The second haiku, wet moss on the old stones, lying in the grass, I ponder whom to sue. And finally, the Shiva visit, so sorry about your loss. Now, back to my problems. That was Haikus for Jews, our Zen Judaism segment this morning. We welcome our Mivinaan Israel Oshrot Bar-El, head of the Weintraub Israel Center, the Shlicha representing Israel in America. Boker Tov.
Boker Tov.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Happy Holiday of Sukkot. You have a big open house today, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody should come and contact the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona website, JFSA.
Yeah.
Great.
And have more information about it.
JewishTucson.org. Oshrat, we were talking the last couple of weeks about the absorption, they call it klita, of the Moroccan Jewish community into Israel, how many came, how they were located to development towns on the periphery and the outside parts of Israel. And even if it was inside, closer, they didn't have the same education, opportunity, took a while. But the Moroccan community now is very well established and very important. Can you talk a little bit about that process?
Yeah. Actually, I would love to give some examples from my hometown called Beit She'an in the north. We had, like, at least 30, 40 years ago, a well-known representative of Beit She'an. He was almost deputy prime minister. His name is David Levy.
And he was also foreign minister and served many other roles in government.
Yeah, for more than 40 years. And now he's lucky to have his bright, smart, and beautiful daughter on the Knesset that actually won twice a prize for being very active member of the Knesset and doing a very good work there.
Kind of a rising star, David Levy's daughter. What's her name?
Orly Levy. Yeah.
In talking about the Moroccan community, you know, obviously there have been many Jews of Moroccan descent who have become pop stars, rock stars, influential in various ways, famous rabbis within Israel, politicians, successful businessmen. For a long time, it seemed the Moroccan Jewish community had, you know, I think of like the Casablandes, had a little bit of a chip on its shoulder. Mm-hmm. Now it seems very widely accepted. Is there still a sense of underprivilege to the Moroccan Jewish community in Israel, or does it seem more fully accepted?
I think you can divide it to two. Some of them will feel like are privileged and some of them. And I guess it's a kind of an approach of like the individual. But in general, I can't avoid that there is a sense, like general sense, that those who came from North America in general, North Africa, of course,
right,
are underprivileged and they're less representative or
less
not so very
right.
Representative.
They don't have the same opportunities that Ashkenazic origins.
And actually,
Jews,
if I can just sum the periphery center issue,
please.
I think that to live in the periphery as someone that like born and raised in the periphery, it's all about opportunities. I think that there is the same ability, the same talent, but lack of opportunities. And I think that the State of Israel and other non-government like NGOs, trying to help and increase the number of the variety of the opportunities so kids and adults can, you know, get well education, better education.
Better education, and, better professional opportunities, move up in society. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not just kids who are, not just Ashkenazi kids born in Kfar Saba or Rehavia who have the best opportunities to climb, but everybody in Israel.
To allow better start points.
Great. Thank you, and Chag Sameach, and don't forget about the Sukkot Open House.
Thank you.
When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll hear from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price, and get the old Jewish joke of the week.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom, and Chag Sameach.
Good morning, Rabbi, and happy holiday to you as well.
We were talking last week about the film The Gatekeepers, which came out a little while back, but has sort of been made available online, Netflix, all the different ways you can see it, in which the different heads of the Shin Bet, the Israeli Internal Security Service, many of them were interviewed, talked on camera, openly shared their experience. Last week, he talked about how they were struggling openly, publicly, with some of the moral challenges they dealt with in their experience there, in trying to keep the security of the country, but also to maintain a level of ethical integrity. It's a very challenging situation for anybody involved in Secret Service work, I would think.
Right. I think two of the most interesting sub-themes that came out of this movie were the following. One, from the very beginning, Israeli internal security services were preoccupied with threats from Arabs, whether Muslim or Christian Arabs didn't matter, but threats originating with the non-Jewish population of Israel pre-1967, before there were any occupied territories, before there were any real border disputes.
It was fascinating. I talked to the first guy and he said, we had the security service. We had no idea what we were supposed to do. There were no problems.
Right, right. But their files and most of their detainees and most of their suspects were Arabs for many years until after 1967, when people who are considered by some to be extremists started settling in the occupied territories and goaded by often extremely right-wing religious leaders, either political or spiritual leaders. A lot of the heads of the Shin Bet specifically cited rabbis as the villains in this piece.
Of course, it's always the rabbi's right. fault.
But they suddenly had to combat terrorism from Jewish sources, including the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin and others. And they suddenly had to start compiling data and folders on Jewish suspects, Jewish detainees. And this was a whole new ballgame for them, which they're still having trouble wrapping their heads around, although they've been at it now for quite a while. So the definition of the enemy kind of shifted. There was what we like to call today, without necessarily knowing what it means, a paradigm shift. But the other thing that I found so fascinating was there was a lengthy quote from a professor of sociology or political science, don't remember which, in 1967, saying that a small country which occupies territory and controls 2.5 million hostile subjects is destined to become a Shin Bet state. We will lose our soul. We will be seen as the occupier. We will be seen as being similar, not identical to, but similar to the Germans who occupied Poland and Holland and lots of other countries in Europe during World War II. And then he quickly hastened to add, and I'm not talking about how the Germans treated the Jews, I'm talking about how they treated civilians in occupied territories. So this guy made a certain prediction about what Israel might become, and then several heads of the Shin Bet were asked if they agreed with this, and shockingly, several of them said every word.
Yeah, it was fascinating. It was a very interesting film, troubling, but also, I think, heartening in the seriousness of the self-examination. And that these guys did this still blows me away. Maybe the world would be a better place if all the former heads of Secret Service could talk so openly.
Right. And I think at this time of year, as we reflect on our deeds and misdeeds of the last year and resolve to do better next year, this kind of soul self-examination, it's a useful exercise to watch how other people do it.
Right.
And to incorporate certain lessons for ourselves.
Yep. That's why we chose it at my temple for Slichot several weeks ago. Tom, Chag Sameach, a happy end of the holiday season. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
It's time now for our old Jewish joke of the week. Jewish humor your Bubby and Zadie do, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service. Sadie has been married for 5 years. She's pleased when her husband, Izzy, starts to call her an angel. She likes compliments as much as the next woman, but after it goes on for a few weeks, Sadie asks Izzy, "Why do you call me an angel, dear?" "Because," says Izzy, "you're always up in the air, you're continually harping on about something, and you never have a thing to wear." That was the old Jewish joke of the week, special feature Too Jewish, just for you. You should live and be well. And now a word of Torah. This week we begin reading the Torah all over again with the marvelous opening chapters of the book of Genesis, Breshit. When God began to create heaven and earth, the Torah commences, the earth was chaotic, wild, and waste. Then God said, "Yehi Or, let light begin." It's easy to forget how dramatic and powerful this command is, how orderly and elegant the whole structure of Genesis. The essential message is simple but overwhelmingly beautiful. All creation begins with God. One central intelligence bringing order and creativity into the universe. One source for morality, holiness, and life. One beginning point, one inception for creation. That source is still here and remains the origination point for life and holiness and blessing. When we most need to rediscover our own starting point, we can do so by seeking God. Our Jewish Poetry Slam this morning comes from the story of Adam and Eve, from this week's portion by the wonderful poet Stanley Barkon. Oh, to be Adam again, with all his ribs, yearning for a woman as yet unborn, mouth free of the taste of apples, ears without the hiss of snakes, mindless of nakedness and shame in the garden of gentle creatures, waiting for a name. The poem As Yet Unborn by Stanley Barkon. When we come back on To Jewish, our guest, outstanding Israeli and world music star Idan Reichel of the Idan Reichel Project, will explain how he creates his complex music and how it is produced live in concert. Find out when we return on To Jewish.
Safety. It's a word we take for granted at home and at the workplace, but sometimes safety isn't a sure thing. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is an environmental remediation company that's been promoting safe living in Arizona since 1989. Environmental Strategies specializes in asbestos and lead abatement, mold remediation, and industrial cleaning. In addition, they have a building and remodeling division that makes it convenient for clients to get all their services from one contractor. Environmental Strategies jobs range from seam tape removal in a single-family home to insulation removal in a Challenger Learjet aircraft and everything in between. So, if you're in need of asbestos or lead removal, mold remediation, industrial cleaning, or top-notch general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies today at 884-1114. Estimates and bids are free and confidential. Ken Goodman is the president, and he'd love to talk with you about your project. Environmental Strategies, serving all of Arizona since 1989. Call 884-1114. We continue with our Two Jewish update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
Iranian President Hassan Rouhani swore last week that his government will never develop nuclear weapons. This is his strongest signal yet that he may be seeking a diplomatic thaw with the West after decades of acrimony. In the build-up to his upcoming UN appearance, the new moderate Iranian president also insisted he has complete authority to negotiate a nuclear deal with the U.S. and other Western powers. We have time and again said that under no circumstances would we seek any weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear weapons, nor will we ever, Rouhani said. Rouhani's conciliatory comments appear to be yet another sign of his willingness to work towards a diplomatic solution in Iran's bitter nuclear standoff with the West. Washington and its allies, especially Israel, are still very wary, making clear they hope to see tangible steps to back up his words. Speaking at his presidential compound in Tehran, Rouhani said the tone of a letter he received from President Barack Obama, part of a recent exchange of messages between the leaders, was positive and constructive. It could be subtle, tiny steps for a very important future, Rouhani said. He was preparing for his address to the UN General Assembly coming later this week, a speech that will be closely watched for diplomatic overtures. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, has said that nuclear weapons development is inconsistent with Islamic values, but a willingness by a newly elected president to rule out nuclear arms would help provide an opening in long-stalled international nuclear disarmament talks. Questions remain about how much bargaining room Khamenei, a staunch promoter of Iran's nuclear program, will give his negotiators, including Rouhani, whether it's in secret talks with Washington or in multilateral discussions with other powers. Comments by the Ayatollah about the need for flexibility suggest a willingness at the highest level to explore a compromise. The government enters with full power and has complete authority, Rouhani said. I have given the nuclear negotiations portfolio to foreign ministry. The problem won't be from our side. We have sufficient political latitude in Iran to solve this problem. The White House response was cautious. The world has heard a lot from President Rouhani's administration about its desire to improve the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran's relations with the international community, and President Obama believes we should test that assertion, the White House said. We hope that this new Iranian government will engage substantively in order to reach a diplomatic solution that will fully address the international community's concerns about Iran's nuclear program. The U.S. and its allies suspect Iran is seeking bomb-making capability, despite Tehran's insistence its program has peaceful aims. Israel, believed to be the Middle East's only nuclear weapons power, has repeatedly called for a credible military threat to halt Iran's advance towards nuclear weaponry. In other signs of softening in Iran, a number of political prisoners were released last week by Rouhani's government. We will stay tuned. Rabbi Philip Berg, who brought the teachings of Kabbalah to a celebrity following that included Madonna and Britney Spears, has died. Berg, the founder of the Kabbalah Center in L.A., died last week. He had been ill since suffering a stroke in 2004. He was 86 years old. Berg's followers included Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, David Beckham and his wife, and Mick Jagger. Berg had some 4 million students enter into Kabbalah centers all over the world. He spurred controversy by bringing Kabbalah, a deep form of Jewish mysticism that is supposed to be reserved for top Jewish scholars, to the masses in a simplified, perhaps watered-down way that seems to have included substantial financial investments from adherents. Berg's widow, Karen, his two sons, Yehuda and Michael, have led the center since his stroke. Berg founded the center in 1969. The IRS opened a tax evasion investigation into the center last year, although it's unknown if the probe is still being pursued. The Kabbalah Center, which is believed to have assets in the hundreds of millions of dollars, emphasizes cash donations from its members. Born Shraga Feivel Gruberger in New York, Berg was ordained as a rabbi back in 1951. Today, we believe the Rav has begun to share with us from above. We will all happily remain connected to and inspired by the Rav's soul and his vision, the center said in a statement after his death. Philip Berg was buried in a tomb near the Israeli city of Tzfat, Safed, a center of Jewish mysticism. Ashton Kutcher and his Jewish girlfriend, actress Mila Kunis, were among the hundreds who attended. It's a busy day for prominent Jews named Philip. Philip Levine, the former U.S. poet laureate who spent his early years writing verse between shifts as a Detroit auto worker, has been awarded the Academy of American Poets Wallace Stevens Award for Lifetime Achievement. The prize, which comes with a $100,000 award, is given annually for outstanding and proven mastery of the art of poetry. Levine's collections include What Work Is, which won the 1991 National Book Award, The Simple Truth, which won the Pulitzer Prize, and in 2009, News of the World. Philip Levine is now 85 years old and living in Fresno. He described the impulse to put his experiences on the assembly line into verse. I believed even then that if I could transform my experience into poetry, I would give it the value and dignity it did not begin to possess on its own, Levine wrote. I thought, too, that if I could understand my life, or at least the part my work played in it, I could embrace it with some degree of joy, an element conspicuously missing from my own life. Not enough joy in life? Too much work? Too much guilt? Sounds a little stereotypically Jewish, doesn't he? Here's the start of Philip Levine's great poem, Among Children. I walk among the rows of bowed heads. The children are sleeping through fourth grade so as to be ready for what is ahead, the monumental boredom of junior high, and the rush forward, tearing their wings loose and turning their eyes forever inward. Mazel tov to Philip Levine on winning the Wallace Stevens Award. And that's the Two Jewish News of Jews Around the World. We're delighted to welcome back to Two Jewish our guest this morning. He's Idan Reichel, the creator of the Idan Reichel Project, one of the most popular and interesting works of music. It's kind of a combination of Israeli music, world music, pop music, rock music, all different genres that come out somehow as being both catchy and popular. You know, you've been at the top of the Israeli pop charts and also had hits in Europe. Did you intend to make something that was going to be pop?
No, I was recording with my band, which is not actually not a band. It's a group of many, many, many artists from all over the world. The youngest is 16 years old, and the elders are 83 and 91 years old.
Mm.
They are all from Israel. We started recording with friends from our block and from our neighborhood. And in every song, you can find different lead singer and totally different group of musicians. So actually, for people who are listening to the Idan Reichel project for the first time, it may sound like a compilation of many songs that from the first listen, you would think that there is no connection between them. It can be acoustic and it can be classic arrangement. It can be electronic music or some reggae beats. It's all combined together because it reflects the sounds and the voices of all those immigrants who came from all over. And actually, when you are walking in the streets of Tel Aviv, in all parts of Tel Aviv, you would actually hear all those sounds from all over.
You know, the music that you do sometimes to me sounds very dreamy. It takes a little while for the song to develop. That's a little less true with your most recent album, the new project, Revelashesh, Quarter to Six. How do you conceive of the music? Do the words come? Does the music come? Do you hear somebody chant in an interesting way and then work the composition around it? How do you put together your pieces?
I always feel that the songs always come from stories of people. Stories by people, and I feel that the project is a storyteller, is like the contemporary storyteller. A conversation with a lady at the street can lead to a melody, a lyrics, a thought can develop to a conversation at the coffee place, you know, when the elders are sitting there and talking about their memories from Morocco or from Yemen. And I always feel that at the end of the day, when we are recording, I feel that this is like if back in the days the storyteller would sit by the fire and tell the village a story. So I feel that the project is kind of a storyteller for the Israeli reality.
How do you go on tour with such complex music? It's an interesting problem.
Right, it's a very good question because obviously no one expects us to travel 95 musicians.
It'd be a very expensive tour, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it will be more people on stage than in the audience.
Sometimes.
We cast the band for each tour. We're traveling around. We are 10 people, around 10, between 10 to 14 people on stage, which is actually amazing lead singers and amazing musicians, solo artists, that each one of them actually can fulfill the stage by his own presence and his own, his or her own talent. But on the other hand, they are modest and humble enough to share the stage and to sing back vocals or to accompany another lead singer. So these, and of course, the third category is that they have to be good friends on the road because we're traveling 22 hours a day together and only 2 hours on stage. So it's important that the bond will be strong.
When you put together the group for tour, do you have to make choices between the songs you want to perform because you can't quite pull them off, or do you use recorded tracks sometimes to cover it?
No, we always performing everything live, and we have different versions. Sometimes a song in Yemenite can be performed in Amharic in specific tour. One verse that we used to sing in Hebrew can be sang in Spanish in another tour. We always feel that we can allow ourselves to translate and to create a different arrangements for the tour, because the essence of the band is always being kept.
What do you enjoy more, touring or recording in the studios?
I can't tell. It's like, what do you like more, apples or tables? I feel that creating from nothing, suddenly to hear a song, after a few weeks of work, that before that there was silence, and then suddenly there is a song. It's always a magic and a miracle that it's still hard for me to explain.
It's kind of Breshit Bara, in the beginning you create from nothing.
Indeed, exactly. Yeah. You create something from nothing. And then, on the other hand, you perform, and suddenly in India, somewhere in nowhere, in a little town in India, you play, and then one person come to me after a concert and will say, today you made me want to come to visit the Holy Land, and I shut my eyes and I imagine the streets of Tel Aviv. This is a totally another experience that is unforgettable, and you feel that the mission of us playing this music around the world is taking it to another direction.
You know, it feels very much like you experience this as being an ambassador for Israel.
Indeed, I'm not playing for the government, or I'm not an official ambassador, but I feel that artists from all over can actually be the ambassadors for their own country. I feel that that even if before you visit Paris, and even without understanding French, you would listen to Edith Piaf, and you would imagine the streets of Paris. Amazing artists like Cesaria Evora for Capo Verde, or Mercedes Sosa for South America. All these amazing artists became the soundtrack of the place that they came from. And I feel that if the Dan Reichel Project music is considered to be the soundtrack of Israel, there is no more important, I see it as the most important compliment that I can ever get. And I feel that if the Dan Reichel Project will be remembered as the soundtrack of Israel, this actually will be something that I can say, we did it our way.
And our way, very much so, with 90-some musicians involved, people from all over the world. I want to thank Idan Reichel for a wonderful visit here on Two Jewish. He'll be here in Tucson, Arizona, performing at the Fox Theater. You'll hear all about that in other parts of the show. A great tour and a great visit here, and thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me in your radio, and see you at the concert.
I'll see you at the concert. When we come back on Two Jewish, we'll hear about next week's guest, get a final musical playout from whom else? Idan Reichel Project.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Two Jewish and with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Join us next Sunday at 9 o'clock. Our guest will be British author Thomas Harding, whose new book is called Hans and Rudolf, the true story of the German Jew who tracked and caught the commandant of Auschwitz. Our playout this morning comes from our guest, Idan Reichel. It's called Until There's Nowhere Left, Ad She'en Yoter Le'an. My friends, have a Shavua Tov, a good week, and a Chag Sameach, a delightful and joy-filled holiday of Sukkot, and a great celebration of Simchat Torah.
הרצף שנשכח בחול והנחלים זורמים עדיין לב שפועם זוכר הכל מה שהיה בילדותנו מה שהפכנו להיות תקוות גדולות נסע הרוח חזרה שלכת זיכרונות וכל דבר אז מנגד